I wanted to know what more we needed, what this was about. So on the left side of the picture was an image from viralnovelty.net, and it was a picture of a Little Caesars pizza place. On the right side was a photo of a note posted on the front door. And the note read this: "To the person going through our trash for the next meal, you're a human being and worth more than a meal from a dumpster. Please come in during operating hours for a couple of slices of hot pizza and a cup of water at no charge. No questions asked. See, you're nicer than I am. Because I read this and I was like, something, I just didn't feel right. It just, something was itching me, but I couldn't figure it out. So I just went on with my life and did some stuff for a couple hours. I came back and I read it again and I figured it out, because it's all in the first sentence. Listen again. To the person going through our trash for the next meal. Do you see the problem? You see, if you wanted the person who visits your dumpster to get a note, you wouldn't put it on the front door. There it is. The people who come through the front door, they're planning on paying for their pizza, and they saw that note. To continue this line of thinking, I saw it on Facebook. I would assume the person who is dumpster diving is not seeing it on Facebook. I also noticed that the post had been shared several times and every comment was positive. Rebecca and I owned the Great Harvest Bread Company in Chapel Hill for several years. And we know well the owners of the Great Harvest here in Cary. And we don't own the bakery anymore, but we still love the bread. I mean, Great Harvest Bread is just awesome. And just plug for, you know, the Cary Great Harvest. Check it out sometime, they're fabulous people. But Rebecca and I, we gave away tons of food. And so are the Williams out of Cary, we know what they do. And small business owners in the food business give away a lot of food. Most of us sometimes point it out, but I don't know anybody who always did that. So how do you really know how much of this is going on? More of this? Do we really know how much is really happening? Welcome to the complexity, the world of public and private virtue. Now, this complexity is more readily seen in the Sermon on the Mount. Man, this is so intriguing to me, because on my Bible, one of these verses is here and the other verse is on the other page. Jesus starts his sermon and says, "In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." And then you keep reading and you get to this side and it says, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them." So, shine but don't? Now, is Christ contradicting himself? No. you see different people are listening to Christ's sermon. Different people read the Bible. Some people who are embarrassed about God need to hear, look, you're light. It's who you are. So just shine. Just get in that groove and have fun. It's who you are. Others who crave a reputation as spiritual, as wise, need to hear, be careful not to do that stuff, to be seen by people. Beyond this, even a mature disciple will demonstrate both a public persona that is characterized by integrity and empathy, as well as a rich and vibrant, private, secret life of devotion. I once heard this, and I still remember it to this day. I love this. The greatest measure of your discipleship is what you do when you're alone. When no one is there but God. It's not so much who you are when everybody's watching. It's who you are when no one is. That is the measure of your integrity. And I love these verses. There are only two today. And I just wanted to do two because so far all this disputable issue stuff is so entangled relationally. I mean, we're causing people to sin and stumbling blocks, and what are people thinking about this and that, and decisions other people are making are bothering us, and it's all very entangled. And here Paul just, he pulls away from this. He's coming to the end of this teaching. And he focuses on the private dimension of handling disputable issues. About just you before God. So, if you have a Bible, turn, tap, swipe, and or scroll to Romans chapter 14. I will be reading from the 1984 NIV. Yeah. And I just love this verse. So whatever you believe about these things, whatever you believe about disputable issues, keep between yourself and God. Isn't that interesting? And notice how wide Paul is about disputable issues. He says, whatever you believe. Bear in mind, he's told us twice in this text that all food is clean. Yet he does not expect everybody's behavior about food to change overnight. He doesn't expect that. Even after Christ has told you the food is clean, and Paul's told you the food is clean, he's still saying you can believe that something is bad. Yes, he does say, but keep this stuff to yourself. Keep your convictions about disputable issues between you and God. There's no reason why anybody else has to know. There is no value in propagating them. Now, there is great value in sharing God's good gifts as you understand them and experiencing them with God. That's a private and good thing. But I want to make one quick clarification before I go on. In saying, don't tell everybody this stuff, it doesn't mean you have to hide anything. I'm not saying hide stuff. He's not saying change the way you live your life in your house when you live your life. Because usually what happens is that the people who become our friends, we sort of naturally discover these convictions. Completely apart from propagation, from trying to persuade other people. Because having friends who share some of your decisions about disputable issues is good and joyful. That's fine. It's just that Paul wants to talk about here, you and God. Now I've noted, I like this idea of a private life. I often talk about it. And more than a few people, when they hear me teach this stuff, they've come up to me and said, "Oh, Martin, secret private lives is bad. That's what people hide. They don't want you to know stuff, you know? I mean, people won't steal when you're watching. They do that in secret. And you know, people that they want to do stuff you don't want, they hide, they secret. And that's true. Secrecy can be a bad thing. But keep in mind, all sin is a corruption of what is good. So if secrecy can be quite evil, it can be just as powerfully, if not more so, beneficial. And my friends, there is no intimacy without secrets. The book of Revelation, letters to the churches. Jesus is talking about all these gifts that he's going to give to churches that are faithful. And there's one gift that I want. I don't care about any of the others. Crowns of gold, whatever, fine. I just give it back. That's good. To the one who is faithful, I will give a white stone with a name written on it, known only to me and whom I give it to. I want that stone. Because I want to know two things. I want to know that Jesus loves the church. And that Jesus loves... Sorry. We got our 18 ready to go. I'm moving around too much. I need to stop doing that. You're doing a great job. I need to know that Jesus loves the church, the vast, teeming mound of people on the Crystal Sea. And I need to know he loves me. And that I can know for eternity that whenever I catch the eyes of my Lord, there'll be a twinkle and he'll say, "Hello." And I'll go, "Hello, Jesus. He knows me." Man, I want that stone. When I get to heaven, I'm going to be, "Where's my stone? Just give me that. The rest of them, really, I'll explore later. But give me my stone. Because I want that secret. Do you see that? I want a secret that only Jesus has for me." Good. So you don't want to share your secrets with everybody. And one of your secrets is how you choose to live disputable issues. And I want to give you an idea how this works by talking about a non-disputable issue. We'll get to those in a minute. This may help. I love the music of Gustav Mahler. Anybody Mahler fans out there? There's one, two, good, three. That's pretty good. I wasn't expecting anybody to like Mahler here. Just not a common thing. Yeah, that I get more often. Mahler, bombastic. Wow, it's horrible. You know, but I love it. by a significant margin. I mean, I love music, and there's sort of the classic rock I like, and there's the symphonic music I like, and Mahler's like up there. There's just, I can't explain it. He just speaks to me in a way I can't really explain. I've talked about Mahler a lot, and guess what? I've never convinced a soul to like him. As a matter of fact, my wife's been unfortunately exposed to Mahler more than probably most souls alive, and she still doesn't like him. What is that? And that's certainly okay. But I have met several Mahler fans throughout my life, and there is an instant connection. Which symphony is your favorite? The second? Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Brian, yeah. What have you seen live? You saw the eighth? Oh, man. I mean, it gets very complicated. Even which conductors do you prefer? Bernstein? On the first? Awesome. This kind of thing. But see, here's the deal. As good as that is, and as good as a concert is, I enjoy Mahler with God. Mahler brings me to God. His music ascends. It just fights upward. It fights to be heavenly. It fights to resolve gloriously. And I can get lost in that forever. Not because of Mahler, but because of God. He made me this way. And he gave Mahler as a gift for those of us who like Mahler, Beethoven, whatever floats your boat. Ultimately, joy is found in God. Then it can be shared. But it first has to be found. Now, that's a non-disputable issue, because I didn't want to tell you about a disputable one. Because we're supposed to keep those things to ourselves. I kind of tricked you here. Because while I've talked about many things, I have never told you guys what I personally believe about anything. I've been very careful not to do that. And do you know why? It's none of your business. It's none of your business. And then I would forfeit this amazing blessedness. Paul goes on to say, blessed is the man who does not condemn himself by what he approves. Oh, isn't that nice? See, because I know how this game is played, and so do you if you've been around a while. If I would have said, okay, you know, I enjoy a beer every once in a while, and man, wine with dinner is just the best. Some of you would have said, I knew it. He really doesn't care about holiness. He doesn't understand the dangers of alcohol. He's not a serious disciple. Well, then I could have said, I don't drink. Some of you would say, I knew it. He talks a good game about freedom, but he doesn't have the guts to live it out. I might have said, I practice a Sabbath. Some of you would have said, yeah, shallow understanding of the cross. He doesn't understand that the law has been fulfilled. Or I could have said, I don't practice a Sabbath. And some of you would have said, I guess the pattern that God used for creation doesn't matter. I mean, what's next? The incarnation? Is that what you're going to ignore next? See, guys, you can't win in the public arena of disputable issues. You can't win in the public arena of disputable issues. You have to focus on what Paul has taught us. Remember, This is just about disputable issues. That's all. It's not about the things that are indisputable in our faith. It's not about that. But in disputable issues, what have we been taught? Not to go saying what we think about stuff, but to welcome people who act differently and not to judge them and not to put stumbling blocks in their way. That's where you focus. And save the good stuff for God. Share it with God and a few close friends who share those convictions. Such is the path of wisdom. But Paul contrasts this with a completely different kind of inward reality, the conscience. Just keep going. But the man who has doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. Man, that powerful stuff. Note the strength of these words. The man who has doubts is condemned. Everything that is not from faith is sin. Now, condemnation, we're not talking about hell here. We're talking about the regular course of God judging people for sin. I mean, if it's sexual immorality, if it's stealing, if it's lying, God's going to judge that. Those are indisputable truths. But again, he elevates the position of your inner life. He speaks to your conscience, your doubts, and God highly values and highly respects them. The point here is really quite simple. Don't do anything if you don't feel it's right. Don't do it. You may have been taught that all food is clean. You may have heard that. You may understand that. But if there's some reason culturally or familially that some food bothers you and you just can't eat it or you can't drink it, then don't mess with your conscience. It's sort of the opposite of last week. Last week, Paul was saying, sometimes people with a lot of intention will come into your life to mess with you. And now he's saying, don't mess with yourself. Don't be your own stumbling block. Listen to your conscience. Because defying your conscience does not improve it. Does not improve it. Defying your conscience will bruise it. And as Paul says, a conscience can even be seared as with a hot iron. Love that imagery. You can just mess it up. And the way you have a good conscience is by listening to it. And then slowly by living by faith, believing in a good God who has made a good though fallen world, receive life, salvation, food, joy, pain, want, plenty from God as good gifts from Him. Continue in your devotion to master God's Word. Read, memorize, meditate, listen. Expose yourself to good teaching. That will help your conscience, not defying it. As we finish up today, I want to try one more time to communicate to you the deliciousness of a secret life and what it can be. And I got this from a MASH episode from 1980. And it's vivid in my memory. I was preparing this message and I thought, MASH, I remember this episode. So let me tell you about it. The episode was called Death Takes a Holiday. It was a Christmas episode of MASH. The power of secrecy was evident. The MASH unit was planning a big celebration for some kids at a nearby orphanage, something they did every year for the kids. But then, as things happened, the expected supplies to have this celebration didn't come in. So the decision was, everybody pitch in and we'll just make up for the loss. We'll just, everybody pitch in. I don't know if you remember MASH or not, but there's a guy named Winchester who is sort of an elitist and pompous and, you know, he's wealthy family and he sort of always was above the MASH sort of thing, you know, quite. And they came to Winchester and said, hey, this is what happens. We know you got a lot of food. Come on, share. And he gave him a couple of cans of oysters and said, that's all I got. And they're like, dude. Well, they didn't say that, but you know what I'm saying. They said, come on, man. You're being a jerk. Give us some of your stuff. And he said, no. And so I was, man, you're such a loser. Got all around camp. Yeah, Winchester, he's, you know, he's an idiot. He's selfish. He's greedy. Show goes on. And then on Christmas Eve at night, Winchester steals away with a bunch of stuff in his hands. And he goes to the orphanage and he leaves big boxes of very expensive chocolate at the doorway and tries to get away. But the leader of the orphanage sees him. He's like, what are you doing? And then he sees. And Winchester was like, you can't tell anybody about this. My family has been doing this for centuries. This, we don't want anyone to know. It's just a way we love that we understand. And we don't want anybody else to know. Not a soul. Ever. And he didn't tell. And they continued to think Winchester was a jerk. And I've never forgot that. Who you are is more important than what people think. So whatever you believe about this stuff, keep between yourself and God. It is more important that you give than you are known to give, Mr. Little Caesar's Pizza Parlor guy. Just saying. It is more important that you are loving than people know that you are. And it is more important that you are free than people know you're free or think of you that way. Let's pray. Lord, lead us to the deep places of our hearts where only you meet us, where only you know us. Be the secret sharer of our joys, the keeper of our secrets. Be the most delicious course of our meal. And Lord, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. We thank you for all of these things and more. In Jesus' name, amen.